And as we speak your word and we go into your word, Lord, that you're going to reveal your word to us. We're so grateful that you sent Jesus, and Jesus, you sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, that you're here to teach us and to guide us in all the truth that are in Jesus. We just give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. If you got your Bibles, let's turn them back to Matthew chapter 6. We started last week, and I hope you remember last week. But last week was we started to talk about the Lord's Prayer, and we talked that it's not a religious prayer, it's a relational prayer. It's not a prayer that necessarily you just speak it over and over and over again as kind of an exercise, but you develop in the prayer by your relationship with God. In other words, the more that you know Him, the more confidence that you'll have that when you talk to Him, He's listening. And if He's listening, He's answering. And if He's answering, then you're going to get ahead and you're going to see the fruits of your relationship. Amen? So in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll get down to verse 7, it says, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him." And then it goes on to say, "In this manner, therefore." In other words, you shouldn't be like somebody who doesn't know God. You should be in a different class because you know Him. Right? And we know Him and we know of Him because He's been made real to our lives and we become born again and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. But again, it's He speaks from heart to heart, His Spirit to our spirit. So we've got to begin to spend time, quality time with Him, getting to know Him and getting to listen in our spirit man rather than just trying to figure Him out with our head, with our noodle. Right? Because that doesn't work all the time. But if we'll get quiet before Him and we'll say, "Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I know that you speak to me. And I really, like Paul said, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Paul said, "I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him tonight. I want to know Him tonight better than I knew Him yesterday, and I want to know Him tomorrow better than I did last year." But that comes through a relationship with Him. And again, he said, first of all, you have to believe that He is. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you must believe that He is, and then you have to believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Glory to God. We're here tonight on Wednesday night seeking Him. Amen. We're seeking to hear about Him. We're seeking to know Him. Glory to God. But we're going to look at just the phrase, "Our Father," for a few minutes. But also begin to look at some of the names that describe who our Father is. You know, if you wanted to talk about my earthly father, I could say that his name was John Francis Dugan, but he was called Jack. He was born in Seattle. He lived in Seattle all of his life. He was married to Iris. He had 12 kids, and then I could tell you some attributes about him. He was left-handed. He had a great sense of humor. He never met a stranger. He was very loving, very accepting, very awesome father. And I could tell you attributes about him, and the more that I told you about him, the better that you would know him. And then if you ever met him, you'd say, "Oh yeah, yeah, that's exactly who that is." Why? Because I know him. I know about him, but I also know him personally. And so tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about the names of God and just a few of them. They're called the redemptive names of God, and we'll see why in just a minute. And the first one that we're going to talk about is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there, or the Lord is here. And Jehovah is the distinct redemptive name of deity. Jehovah is the distinct redemptive name of deity. In other words, even in the book of Genesis, in different places, he was called God or our Lord. But when it came down to Jehovah, there was a personal relationship that was developed because of what God did and who He is to us. So whenever Jehovah is, you know, is read or listened, our ears should perk up and say, that's a relational name, or that's a covenant name. I have a covenant with God, and I have a relationship with Him, and that name means something to me. Go to, this is really interesting, go to Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel 48, and we'll look at this. And we're speaking now specifically about Jehovah Shammah. And what Jehovah Shammah means is the Lord is there, or the Lord is here, or the Lord resides here. So He's Jehovah Shammah to me. He is here. And in Ezekiel 48, and we'll go to verse 35, if I can get there. Glory to God. 48, and again, 35, says this, and all the way shall be 8,000 cubits. It's talking about the city, and it's talking to the same city that was referred to, I believe, in Revelation 21, where John was talking about the heavenly city that's going to come down, you know, at the end of time. And listen to this, and the name of that city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. In other words, the presence of God will be in that city. And again, the name there is Jehovah Shammah, or the Lord is there. So what significance does that have for us? When you enter into prayer and you start talking to God, you begin to think about, listen, this God that is my Father is Jehovah Shammah, and that means that He's here. That He's here, that He's with me. Jesus prayed, and we know that it's true. He prayed, and Jesus' prayers got answered. He said, Lord, that they may be one as You and I are one. You and them, and me and you, and you know, all of us in the same thing, that we might be one. And then He said that the Lord said that He would never leave you nor forsake you. So when you close your eyes and you come into prayer with heart to heart with God, the first thing that you ought to remember is that He is Jehovah Shammah. He is there. He is here. Wherever you go, He's there. Glory to God. He's persistent too, because He's seeking after you. He's a jealous God. He wants all of your attention. He wants all of because that's the best thing for you, right? He is there. I remember an old preacher was talking about, he had a call of God on his life, and he was in the World War II era, and he said he was running from that call. And so he was called, and he said, I'm not doing that. You know, about 18 years old, he said, I'm going in the Navy. So he went to boot camp, and darn if God wasn't there. And then he said, well, I'll just get out of here, and I'll get on a ship, and we'll go, you know. So he was off in the South Seas and places, you know, that he thought, there's no way God could be here, but God showed up there. And so he couldn't escape God because God was there. God is here. And we know that God's everywhere, but specifically for His covenant people. And when we're talking about our Father who art in heaven, we have to think about the fact that He's my Father and He's here. He's listening to what I have to say. He's for me. He's not against me. Amen? And then the second one is that we're going to talk about is Jehovah Shalom. And Lord, we know that the word Shalom means peace, but it's much more than that. Go to Judges, the book of Judges and the 6th chapter. Judges chapter 6. And we'll take a look at this. In Judges chapter 6, this is the story of Gideon. And Gideon was not, well, let's just say God said he was a man of valor, but you wouldn't know that by his actions. He was hiding in the wine press, and when the angel said, you know, God's picked you, he said, who, me? You got to be kidding. Right? That was kind of his attitude. But let's look specifically at verse 11, 6:11. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Asbarite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.'" In other words, God's showing up and he's saying, "The Lord is with you." He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord that is with you. He's the Lord that is your peace. And because he's with you and because he is the Lord your peace, he's your protector. He's not only your protector, he's your warrior. He's everything to you. He will fight with you. He's Jehovah Shalom to you. And again, Shalom means much more than peace. It does mean peace, but it also means prosperity. It means deliverance. It means so much. When you say, "God, you are," listen, "you are my deliverance." When you're talking to God, "You are the one that I'm counting on to be my peace. You are the one. I'm not looking over here for peace and hopefully you'll bless that. I'm coming to you for that because you are Jehovah Shalom." Does that make sense? It's like we need to start looking at that differently and just saying, "God, I'm not looking out there for this. I'm looking in here for this. You are always with me and you are my peace." Hallelujah. And the next one is Jehovah Ra. And if you look at Psalm 23, and we all know that the Lord is my shepherd. So again, the word shepherd means one who is there. But it's not just shepherd. It's so good. He's the one to be with us. He's the one who sees. He's the one that sees what's happening and takes care of it. "The Lord is my shepherd," in Psalm 23, "I shall not want, because he leads me beside the still waters." Right? He's the one in the presence of my enemy sets a table up. I just love that analogy. Think about this. You're just surrounded by all your enemies. Maybe they're debt collectors. Maybe they're doctors. Maybe they're relatives. Right? But you're just surrounded by them and they're all... And the Lord says, "Don't worry about them. Just come here and sit down. Because I've got a table for you right here." Because he's the Lord, my shepherd. He is Jehovah Ra. And that means that he'll take care of me even when things look terrible. So in the midst of our battles, when things aren't going right, maybe life is happening and maybe you're dealing with somebody who's a little bit of trouble, or, you know, in life, I'm thinking about somebody tonight who his mother is starting to, you know, go into some, she's in her 90s and dementia issues, and he just is starting to deal with her, and it's hard. You know, it's hard to see them go in that direction, but even when life throws you that and life gets tough, you can say, "No, the Lord Jehovah Shalom, the Lord Jehovah Raha is with me. He's the one that's my shepherd. He's the one that's going to take care of me. Lord, I trust you in the midst of this storm. I trust you." And I'm talking about all of this in the light of when Jesus said, "You pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven." We have to meditate on who he is. We have to think about what he's done. We have to think about the covenant that we have with him. So in other words, when we're in trouble, we just sit down and we say, "Lord, I'm just going to take a break here. And I'm coming into the secret place. And I'm just asking you, Lord, to just remind me again that you are my peace. You're my comforter. You're my everything. Glory to God." The next one, let's go to Genesis 22. In the book of Genesis, in the 22nd chapter, we're going to talk about Jehovah Jireh. And it means the Lord will provide, but you've got to catch the spirit of this and when it shows up in the Bible and how it applies in their lives, we have to say that the same thing will apply in our lives. And this is the story about how Abram was going up on the mountain, and Abraham, and he took his son, and he was told to offer his son up as a sacrifice, and they're walking up the hill, and his boy is a teenager, in that age group, and so he's walking with them, and they're carrying bundles of wood and all of that. He tells his servant to stay at the bottom, and they're walking up, and the boy looks around and goes, "I see the fire. Where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham didn't say, "Well, boy, you're it," right? But listen to this. This is so good. In Genesis 22 and 14, and after it all happened, he had him up there, and God told him to stop. Drew the knife, and they found the ram in the thicket. In verse 14, it says, "And Abraham called the place, 'The Lord will provide.' And it is said to this day that the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." In other words, in the presence of the Lord, whatever you have need of at the time will be provided. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's still the same one who provides for us the needs that we have. In other words, when we start to get stressed out about what we don't have or what the situation looks like or how bad it is, we can go in our prayer closet and say, "Lord, you're still Jehovah Jireh. And as it was to Abraham, it is to me that you will provide. I don't know how. I don't know where. I'm just going to do my part and be obedient to you and allow you to take care of everything else." And it's my testimony that he does a pretty good job of it. It's my testimony that even when things seem bleak and things seem out of control, he takes care. But here's what happens oftentimes is, "Lord, you'll provide," but then we go try to figure out how he's going to provide. Or we try to manipulate other people to make the provision instead of trusting God to provide. But I want you to notice that whenever God provides, he always provides after we get put into action doing something. In other words, he didn't provide the lamb before Abraham was obedient to offer Isaac, right? And so oftentimes his provision comes out of our obedience to do what he tells us to do. Somebody said this: God will give you the vision, but you must do the vision before the provision will come up. In other words, if God says, "Listen, I want you to go to Zimbabwe, you know, there's a mission trip over there, and you're supposed to be on it, I want you to go on it," and you say, "Well, Lord, I'll do that," but you sit at home and don't do anything, more than likely you're going to be home when that trip is over. But if you say, "Lord, I'll do that, and whatever steps you put before me to make that accomplished, I'll do that." So in other words, I'm going to Zimbabwe, so the first thing is I need a passport because I don't have one. So, "Lord, I'm going to go get a passport." And somebody asks you, "Why are you getting a passport?" "Because I'm going to Zimbabwe." "You can't go to Zimbabwe. You don't have the money to go to Zimbabwe." "God called me to go to Zimbabwe. I'm going to Zimbabwe," right? But all the time, you're meditating on the fact that it's the Lord who provides. In the midst of your situation, God will provide. It doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter how late it is or whatever. God will provide. If God spoke it, he'll provide for it. And so in meditating on these things, and when it seems like you don't have enough or it's impossible, or as Myrna's here tonight, as your heater goes out, it's like, "Lord, how am I going to do this? Lord, I'm just resting in you because you said you would provide." And he did, right? And he does. But we have to rest in that. And we come to our Father, we have to look at him. "Lord, you're not only there, you're not only with me, you're my peace in the middle of the storm, but Lord, you'll also provide. You're my provider. And so I'm looking at you as my source." Amen. You see, if Jesus is Lord of your life, and if you have a covenant with God, then you have to believe that he's your source. He'll take care of you, and he's a good provider. And it's like this. oftentimes, and when I went to Uganda, it's been several years now, but when I went to Uganda, I was riding over on the plane and saying, Lord, what do I have to say to these people? Right? I mean, you know, what? And not in that vein, because I trust that God will give me the words to speak when I need them. But it was like, Lord, what would you have me say to these people? Now, we're going to visit Nasimbe, who's now with the Lord, but we're going to visit him, and I knew that he had nothing. And he was running an orphanage with kids that were on the street because he was once on the street. And here's a young man, he was, you know, late 20s or early 30s. He was running this orphanage with several kids in the orphanage, and we were going to go visit it. Right? And I knew that he had nothing, right? I mean, they were believing God for rice and beans to be able to survive. And the Lord said to me, tell him to not get the source and the resource mixed up. Now, what does that mean? And then the Lord began to develop that in me. So when I went to him, I said, listen, you've got to remember that God is your source. God may use me or somebody else to be the resource, but he's the source. So, see, what can happen is if you get the source and the resource mixed up, you'll start to look at the resource for your needs to be met when God wants to use another way to get them to you, but you're so stuck on that resource, you try to manipulate the resource rather than trusting the source. Let me give you an example. A dear friend of mine, he's also with the Lord now. Once he was in a church and you know, he had a young family and there were some pretty well-off people in this church. And he'd been praying in the Holy Ghost and spending time with God. And he just felt that he was really bold. He went up to this man who was really wealthy and he said, I just feel like the Lord's telling me that you're going to buy me a car. So what he did is he got his source and the resource mixed up. The source should have been God. He should have kept his mouth shut. But he went to the resource to tell him what God told him. And the guy said to him, he turned around to him, he's a mature guy, really, you know, a wise man. He said to him, brother, he said, as soon as God tells me that, I'll buy you one. Right? But the point is that he put pressure on the resource rather than trusting the source. God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, the one who's going to take care of all of my needs is my source. And we have to continue to do that. And I'll tell you, when you start to meditate on that and you believe that, he can open up your imagination to avenues for resources to come that maybe weren't there before. He can give you a business idea. In your meditation, he can say, listen, I want you, you know, back in the, you know, whenever it came out, I want you to buy Amazon stock. You know, I mean, he could tell you that, and as you obey that, then the resources come, but the resources aren't the one who brought it. It was the source who brought it. But you've got to believe that God is my source. He is Jehovah Jireh. And you begin, our Father. Oh, yeah, that's my Father. One of his attributes is he is the Lord who provides. So, Lord, I thank you for my provision. I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you'll take care of me. When worry starts to crowd you and doubt starts to crowd you, see, when the devil gets you in fear, he'll have you going in other areas to try to get something to happen rather than allowing the Spirit of God to let it happen. That's when you start putting manipulation on people, right? It's like the guy who comes into the prayer meeting and he has a need and he knows that somebody's got the resource. So he goes right next to him and said, you know, as he's praying, he said, oh, Lord, do you know how much I need such and such? And he's not praying to the Lord at that point. He's praying to the resource. See, but when you spend time and you meditate on the fact that God is my resource, then we can get to the place where we trust him and allow him to show us or to to give us wisdom on how to get what He's asking us to have, our source. So God is my source. He's not only there for me, Jehovah Shammah, and He's not only my peace, right? He's also Jehovah Jireh to me. My Father is Jehovah Jireh. My Father is Jehovah Shalom. My Father is Jehovah. Come on. So when you're in meditation, when you're praying the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, you're beginning to put yourself in the position where you really believe these things. This is who He is. See, because as you go the rest of the prayer, it kind of outlines and you can see, oh yeah, God will take care of me. God will deliver me from my temptations. God will, help me to forgive those who... God will bring me my daily bread, on and on, because you know who He is. And He's that for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's really important that we grab a hold of this and in our prayer time. And again, our prayer time, like we said last week, is not just putting words up in the air or without even believing anything. Our prayer time is not like the heathens, because our prayer time should be talking to the one we're in relationship with. So when we sit down and we say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to your throne room. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I'm hallowing His name, or I'm setting His name apart, because I know who He is. But I also know who He is to me. And the moment that I got saved, my relationship changed. And as soon as I got saved, He was Jehovah Shammah to me. The Lord is there. He's with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He is Jehovah Shalom. When I go before Him, Lord, you're not mad at me, because Jesus broke down all barriers between us. And there's peace. There's no more. We're no longer enemies, that you're with me, right? You're for me, and then you are the one who will supply all of my needs. You're going to take care of everything that I have need of, God. And I'm not going to complain about what I don't have. I'm not going to try to manipulate somebody else to get what I need. I'm going to trust you for my needs. And I'm going to learn to be content in whatever state I'm in. And I'm telling you, He meets you that way. I've told you this story before, but there was one day through some series of things that Renita and I got into where there was a foreclosure note pinned to our house. I mean, I came home, it was nailed to the house. And I go, ooh, really? Okay. I mean, it's not like that it was a complete shock to me. I knew our situation, but there it was. And I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to fix this. I got my recliner. I started praying to Him. I said, Lord, but here's the deal. I'm not blaming you for this situation. There's some decisions that we made. But anyway, I just trust you, because you are my source. And Lord, as long as I have Renita and I have you, I don't care if we live in a tent, we'll be all right. Because I just trust you, right? And in that, He put peace in my heart. He said, You'll not lose the house, and I'll take care of it. Don't worry. And I'm not telling you that worry didn't try to come back, but I'd always go back to that relationship that I had with Him. And when He spoke to me that He is the Lord who provides, it brought peace to me, and we're still on the property, right? As many, many years ago, we're still there because God did a work. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Now go to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And we're going to talk about the fact that He's Jehovah Nisi. And one of that title means that He's the Lord, our banner. And I like that. When you're meditating on the Lord, and when flags first started coming to the church, right? In fact, this was years ago. We were in the Burley Glenwood School, and flags were everywhere. Cloth was just flying during praise and worship, and somebody came in, and he wasn't charismatic, and he leaned over to his wife and he said, "This is the Church of Joanne Fabrics." but I And so, you know, banners were really big, and we had banners everywhere. And I thought, Lord, what? You know, I mean, it's okay, but I don't really understand. What's the big deal about banners? And I started to do a study about banners. And it's like David here was in the army. There's a flag that the company is represented by. And so when you were in trouble or you were lost, you looked up and you looked for the banner, because the banner would give you direction back to your own company. The Lord is our banner. Right? I remember going to Washington for Jesus. I think it was the spring of 79 or 80, but back there, and there were a lot of people back there. I mean, hundreds, a couple hundred thousand people, I'm sure. And every state was representative. But you had to find the state of Washington and get behind that banner, because that was your tribe. So when it says that he's Jehovah Nissi, and again, in Exodus 17, let's read the scripture and we'll go forward. In verse 15, 17:15, it says this: And Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner. But it's not just banner. Watch this. The Lord is the captain. The Lord is my champion. The Lord is my victor. In other words, when I talk to the Lord, I see Him as the one who not only reigns over me, but champions my cause. The Bible says that the Lord will vindicate you. The Lord is my redeemer. The Lord is my justifier. God spoke to me one day when I was going to get up, and I was just going to get up from the pulpit. There were situations going on, and I was going to tell my truth, right? I was going to straighten it out, because there's a lot of things going on. I was going to get up, and the Lord spoke to me real strong, and this is what He said. He said to me, if you have to be your justification, I can't be. That's a hard pill to swallow, because I wanted everybody to know just how right I was. Right? But when I found out that He was Jehovah Nissi, He was my banner, He was my captain, He was my redeemer, He is my justifier, I can sit under that banner and meditate on that in my prayer time with Him and say, oh Lord, you really do have me, don't you? You're really going to see to it that everything works out all right. Lord, you're really the one who makes all things work together for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. So while I'm sitting meditating with you, while I'm in my secret place, in my prayer closet, I'm looking to you, I'm calling you, hallowed be the name of my God, and His name is Jehovah Nissi, my banner. Isn't that good? Right? But as you begin to meditate on these things, and then you can take that outside of your prayer closet, when things start to hit you, oh yeah, I get it, and I'll do what I need to do, but in reality, this is not on my shoulders. This is His problem. Remember, He said things like this: cast your care upon me, for I care for you. He didn't say, well, cast, you know, your little cares on me, but the big ones you can keep with you. You know, He said things like, don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. How do you do that? By getting in your prayer closet and say, my Father is Jehovah. Come on. And you go through the names, you start meditating on them, you go, wait a minute, God, you really do have this handled. You really are Jehovah Jireh. You are the one who supplies, and you're on time. And God, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't even matter what happens to me in the flesh, because I know at the end my spirit is right with you and I'll forever be with you. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, when you get a revelation of this, then events can happen in your life and it's like, why am I acting so peacefully in the midst of this situation? I've told you this story, but it just reminds me of the time that I was, you know, I was going to Rhema. I was working at 7-Eleven, and this guy came in, and I was working the coffee machines. I was making more coffee or something, throwing the day-old hot dog and buns out or something. I was working over there. I'll be with you in a minute. And so I went up to the corner, and he had this coat on. He pulls this gun out from underneath his coat and stuck it in his coat pocket and said, "Give me all the money." And I mean, this is how fast it went, like this. So I just saw it for that second. And I'm looking at him. And I'd just been in the presence of God. I'd been stocking shelves and stuff, just worshiping the Lord. So I was kind of drunk in him a little bit. At work, intoxicated in the spirit. I think you can relate to that. If not, talk to me afterwards. But anyway, and it was like I said to him, I said, "Well, are you going to rob me with a toy gun?" And he said to me, "I'll blow your bleeping head off. I'll blow your bleeping head off." You know, he said, try me. I'll blow your..." I mean, several times he said that. Here's the thought. I kid you not. The thought wasn't, oh my God, or anything like that. It was like, well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's literally the thought that came to me. And it seemed like it lasted a long time. It really didn't. And so he's, try me, I'll blow your bleeping head off. Well, I guess I am. And then I started to go like this to go around the counter. I don't know what I was doing. But I, you know, I was in the Spirit. And he took off running. But the point is that I know that I know. At that point, I knew that I knew. You can't hurt me. I mean, yeah, you can kill me. You could shoot me. You could, you know, whatever. But that's not going to hurt me. Maybe for a second or two. But we have to get the perspective of that I'm in a covenant with Almighty God. And He is Jehovah Nisi to me. He is my victory. He is my banner. And then the next one, if you go to Jeremiah 33 and verse 16, he's Jehovah Sid Canu. Jehovah Sid Canu. And what that means is He's the Lord my righteousness. I am so glad that He's my righteousness. Because without knowing that He's my righteousness, my inferiority by knowing how righteous that I am in myself would keep me away from the presence of God or ever believe that He'd do anything for me, because I know my thoughts. I know that, you know, when evil thoughts come to me, I know when I stumble, I know all of that. So if I'm looking at myself and my own righteousness, my own being right is as filthy rags compared to His. Jeremiah 33 and verse 16. It says this: "In those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness." And we all know that in 2 Corinthians it says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." So when I'm sitting and I'm talking and I'm saying, "My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy is your name, sanctified in my mind and my thoughts and my body is your name." One of those names and part of His personality, part of who He is, part of who I can tell others that He is. He is God, but He is the God who is my righteousness. In other words, He did everything that was necessary for me to be right with Him. So what that does is it diffuses the lies of the enemy who's coming to you constantly trying to put you under condemnation and telling you that you don't belong and that you're not as good as or you're less than. And you can come back and say, oh, no, I just spent time. I just spent time with God, and I was, you know, hallowing His name, and one of His names is the Lord my righteousness. And I can take you to the scriptures that He said that He would put a new heart inside of me, and He'd put in, come on, and I am in Him, and He is in me, and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, because it's His righteousness became my righteousness when His sin, or my sin, was put on His Son at the cross. There was a great exchange. So I just want to tell you, Lord, that I'm coming before You, and I'm not coming with condemnation. Now, I'm not saying that I'm all that in myself, because You and I both know that's not right. But Lord, I'm coming to You with boldness, humility, but boldly before Your throne of grace, which He told us to do in Hebrew, because of the blood that was spilt and the blood that was taken up and the blood that was declared holy. He's Jehovah, my righteousness, Sid Canu. So I can stand before Him like this in my prayer closet and go, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. And I know You're here. And I know I'm there, all because of what Jesus did for me. Come on, you getting anything tonight? I mean, listen to this. And so this should revolutionize your prayer life. You're not just talking to empty space. You're not just getting your 15 minutes in or your 5 seconds in, whichever's your habit. You know, it's like, Lord, I'm coming before You, but with assurance. And I believe that You are, and I believe that You're a rewarder of those who diligently seek Me. And Lord, I'm not looking for the reward based on what I want. I'm looking for the reward based on who You've made me to be. And I just want all that You have for me. But I'm coming with this assurance that You are Jehovah Sid Canu. Woo! Glory to God. Now listen to this next one. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Rapha. Now go back to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Glory to God. See, you start meditating on this and you start thinking about this and you begin to ponder this when you're talking to God and you ask the Holy Spirit to put this on your heart. And again, I like this. It's like, you know, our heart is the canvas. The Word is the paint, but the Holy Spirit is the painter. So the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and He uses it and puts it on our heart, and we become what the Word says by the revelation of our spending time with Him and allowing Him to begin to plant this in our heart. You see, condemnation and justification can't be in the same place, right? Inferiority can't be in Christ, because He's made us something that we weren't. And again, it's not in me. I'm not saying by myself that I'm anything. I'm saying that because I am in Him, His work has put me positionally in this place. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 15. And let's go to verse 16. Glory, 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 glory. He's so good. He is so, so good. Let me get here. Okay. I said, what did I get? 15:26. I'm sorry. Okay, now we got it. He said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought upon the Egyptian, for I am the Lord that heals you. So when you go before the Lord, you say, Lord, I thank you that you are my healer. Now, I believe this is physical, but I also believe it's spiritual healing, and I believe it's emotional healing. I believe he's the healer of the brokenhearted. But he can't heal your brokenhearted if you don't see him as your healer. If you don't see him for who he is and rely on him for who he is, you're going to try to get your healing from maybe your abuser. Right? How many people are still waiting for that their father to come back and apologize? Or the, you know, whatever, the husband that was a jerk, whatever it is, or the bully or whatever, you know. Whoever that is, you're waiting for them to come back and apologize. And what you're really saying is, they can be my healer. And the reality is they can't be. But good news, there is one who is. Glory to God. If you'll trust in him, if you'll come to him and you say, Lord, I'm coming to you with my heart. And I don't know how you're going to do it, but in our quiet time, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. But Lord, I just know that you're my healer. And I've been broken, I've been wounded, but I'm coming to you for direction how to heal my broken heart. And again, you're spending time in this quiet place with him. And you're not just talking, but if you really believe that this God, who is Jehovah Rapha, was with you, wouldn't you shut up at some point? Prayer, sometimes it's like it would be like going to the doctor and going into his office and spending 15 minutes telling him what every hurt and every problem that you had, and you just get it out and you finally go, and then you get up and walk out. The doctor's going, I didn't say anything. I can't help you. Because you're not listening to me. But if we'll take prayer like God is really listening to us, and we'll get quiet and we'll let his heart speak to our heart, we can say, Lord, you are the Lord that heals me. And so, Lord, whatever steps that you tell me to take, or wherever you point out in the Word that I need to be doing something different than I'm doing it, I'll do it because you are Jehovah Rapha and you're the one that I trust with my healing. Be it physical, be it emotional, be it spiritual, you know, however it is. Financial, Lord, he's my healer, glory to God. All right, the last one is Jehovah Makadesh. And it's the Lord who makes holy. I love that. He's the Lord that makes holy. What does that mean? He's the one that sanctifies for separation. If you remember, and we won't go to all the scriptures, but if you remember in the Old Testament, they had all the furniture made, and they had the lampstands, and they had the lavers, and they had, you know, this and that, the Ark of the Covenant, and all of that, and they were all made, but they had to go through a ritual cleansing and then anointing before they could be put in service. Why? Because they had to be made separate for God's use, and so they made them holy. Well, God is to me, my Father is to me, Jehovah Makadesh, which means he's the one that makes me holy. He's the one that separated me from the world. He's the one that looks at me differently than he looks at those who don't have Christ. So when I go before him and I'm going, Lord, I don't go up to him and go, Lord, well, I did this right, I did that right, I did this right today, I did that right, I did that right, so I must be holy. I've got all these holy marks down on this sheet of the paper by my actions. No, he goes, sorry, son. Sorry, daughter, that's not going to work. But here's the deal. I am Jehovah Makadesh to you. I am the God who makes you holy. I am the God that makes you holy. I'm just going to close on this. I don't think they have it back there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And listen to this. This is so good. He's in this chapter, he says, he's taken the foolish things in the world to confound the wise. He's taken the base things and just freaked out people who think they're holy. And in verse 29, it says, and no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, no flesh can go before him and say, I'm here because I deserve to be here. None of us by our own. But look at verse 30. But of him you are in Christ. Woo! Glory to God. But of him, Father, I'm coming before you in the name of Jesus, and I'm coming before your, and Lord, holy is your name, but your name is Jehovah Makadesh, and it's the Lord. But of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's the absolute total picture of holiness. That's who I am. That's who you are. So when you go before God and you say, Lord, I'm coming before Jehovah Makadesh. You are the Lord who made me holy. You're the one who became wisdom from God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You're everything that I have need of, and Lord, everything. So I'm coming boldly with the idea, Lord, that as I speak to you, as a son speaks to his father and a father looks to his son, that you'll speak to me the words of correction, the words of adjustment, the words of, you know, guiding my step, anything that I have need of, Lord, I'm coming with that assurance. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I see thy name, and thy name applies to me, and it's not because of me. It's because of you. I'm just grateful, Lord, that you put me in covenant with yourself through the covenant of your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is that good? I mean, that's good. Hallelujah. So let's close in prayer tonight and just soak on this. And I hope you meditate on this a little bit before you go to bed tonight and just think about that. God, that's who you are to me. Father, that's who you are to me. And I receive that. And Holy Spirit, show me in my life where that applies to me. Father, I just thank you for the word tonight. I thank you for those that are watching online. I thank you, Lord, also for those that are here tonight. And I thank you for being with us. I thank you for ministering to us. And Lord, I think that we've cut short the work that you've done in us. And so we don't want to do that, Lord. We just come to you and we just come in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for healing folks tonight. I thank you for putting folks at peace where there was rest. I thank you, Lord, for just providing for folks tonight and giving them assurance that you'll take care of them. Thank you, Lord, that you are their shepherd, Lord, and I thank you for ministering to every one of their needs. And I just rebuke the devourer who's lying to people's hearts and minds. And I just tell you to shut up, because God is with us and he's for us. And we're going to get the last laugh, because there's a day coming where he will reveal himself and we'll be with him, and forever and ever we'll reign with him. So, Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Thanks for watching.